Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Full of frustration. Full of despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
Can you appreciate the effort, please? Because I've just finished a four-hour radio show, come next door into this studio to basically be tortured by you.
Get in!
This is the MLS UK show.
I have no words. Absolutely no words.
Yeah, we're back in the box studio, by the way, so sorry if that sort of distorted a bit.
Yeah, anyway, let's get on with another episode. Yes, we'll be recapping what happened when Orlando played Atlanta United.
Can't wait. Can't wait. We're also chatting to Ronnie, who is a New York Red Bulls DP.
We have got a wider bay as well, which I'm excited for.
Yeah, bringing it back. And, of course, five things, predictions and recaps. It's all to come on this episode of the MLS UK Show.
Come on, let's have it.
It wasn't a great week for you last week, was it? Because you not only lost the MLS UK Show derby, you also lost in the award we're up for. So it wasn't great for you. You've been living off the success of Norwich, yeah, and Orlando had a decent start to the season for them. So it's all come crumbling down.
This is why this is my lock screen.
Yep, Norwich. So this is why this is my lock screen. Atlanta
the
United.
MLS UK Show Atlanta United lock screen.
Yeah.
Come on, let's have it.
Well, first of all, I think we should say that, yes, we didn't win in the Football Blogging Awards.
Right, okay, if we're starting with this, yeah. Can I just say, do you know how before I was like, oh, this is hilarious that we've been nominated for this, blah, blah, blah. Trust me, it was even more hilarious when we turned up and realised that, to be fair, the room was full of actually really good, famous people, and we were there as well.
Yeah, so if you know stuff with like UK soccer, like Arsenal Fan TV, they weren't there because they were watching Arsenal, but they sent so many videos back because they won loads of awards. Man United fan channels were there, Tottenham fan channels, Chelsea fan channels, all the fan channels, and then there was us.
And
us
I think
well.
It really sums it up brilliantly is that we were sat next to a Tottenham Hotspur vlogger.
Yeah.
And she was great, to be fair, really nice girl. I got chatting to her. And we sort of explained, she said, oh, what do you do? So we explained it. And I said to her, we do MLS, but kind of from a UK perspective. And our level of fame in that room could not have been summed up more than when she said, oh, can I put you in my vlog? And we were like, oh, yeah, great. Like, this is really good. A little bit of promotion. So she starts filming. She gets the camera out. She goes, and I'm here with the guys from, what is it, HMS? HL? MLS.
Yeah.
MLS, Major League Soccer.
To be fair to her, boyfriend sat next to her were like, it's MLS, you know, it's an actual league. But it was,
it's a thing, I promise. Yeah,
it was at the Etihad Stadium. We had so much fun. Thanks if you sent us a nice message on social media or watched our Instagram stories throughout the night as, well, you saw my drunk face quite early on in a photo.
Very rosy cheeks.
Yeah, it got worse. So, yeah, no, it was a great night and hopefully we can be back next year. But thanks if you voted for us.
The last thing on that, I did have a great night. The last thing I want to say is that as cringy as this sounds, I got in bed around midnight that night and we hadn't won anything, obviously. But just going through our Twitter was just crazy because everyone had sent us messages going, good luck, guys. Like, you really deserve it. I love listening to your podcast. I listen to it when I'm driving in from, you know, the Colorado Springs to... And I'm just like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and I know it's really selfish and I know that, like, it's just for my own personal gain. But I really like hearing where you're listening, you know, like what time of day you're listening. It just genuinely intrigues me because the time difference, the mileage between us and people who are listening over in the States, it just fascinates me. Maybe you're in the UK. Just let us know where you listen and hopefully enjoy MLS UK show because it's bizarre that we're here in sunny Stoke-on-Trent today. Very sunny. Got my legs out. And people just enjoy it all over the world. I think it's brilliant.
Now, moving on to my favourite part of the show today. Actually, no, it's not quite my favourite part of the show. Because we've got to do the game with the change of name first. And then I'm going to leave you lingering for a bit longer.
This can't go on any longer. Just get out of the way. Do you know on How I Met Your Mother where Barney's going to get slapped by Marshall and he doesn't quite know when?
Yeah.
This is how I feel right now because I know the inevitable storm is coming. Regarding Atlanta v Orlando.
Well, it's coming very soon, I can promise you. So this is the game where we choose a player who has played in both MLS and the UK and go through his career path, give you a few hints, and you've got to the end of the podcast to guess who it is. I've got one here. Have we done this? I don't think we've done this one. No, we've definitely not done this one.
Go on.
Right, so this was sent in a few weeks ago. Apologies, We've had so many DMs with a Football Blogging Awards thing, I would have to go back and find it. But this is a footballer who I personally know because he played for Leeds United.
You know him personally?
Well, not personally, but I know of him.
Okay.
And that's because he played for Leeds United and it was in 2009 to 2011 and that was because I was being Leeds on Football Manager. So that's how I know him.
I was Leeds once on Football Manager.
What?
My longest ever running game on Football Manager, I went from Osasuna to Leeds.
Did you?
Mm.
Well, he then went from Leeds in 2011 to Brentford and then Bury, my hometown team, and then Scunthorpe United. So not really, he didn't really do that well in the UK.
Do they play for Colorado Rapids by any chance?
No.
It just sounds like the terrible run of teams that they would normally get themselves involved in.
No, their MLS life was much better. He played for New York Red Bulls. That was in 2015 to 17. Played 73 games and scored 16 goals. And then signed for Columbus Crew last year. Played 12 games, one goal. He is American. He's 32. Okay. But who is he?
Where is he this year?
It doesn't say.
I've got no idea.
If you have got an idea, tweet us at MLS UK Show. Screenshot where you're up to in the podcast so we know you're not cheating. And it will be revealed a little later on.
That's really annoyed me. I don't know who that is. Played for Columbus last year.
Yeah. 12 games. Well, 2018. So yeah, it would have been last year, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
Right, Elliot, let's look back at what happened last weekend in MLS. And I think we should start at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It was the MLS UK Show Derby. It was Atlanta United versus Orlando City. And yet again, the Five Stripes came out on top.
Yep.
You're not happy with the amount of changes being made, are you?
Let's start, we'll start with the Atlanta game. Atlanta versus Orlando was annoying. Orlando had eight days off before that game was played, so they didn't need to rotate a lot in my book. The reason that I kind of let the rotation go against Orlando, against Atlanta, was because they had a midweek game against Seattle, and I thought they're obviously going to try and go full strength in Seattle, which they then didn't. So it is annoying. I think it was a very weak side fielded against Atlanta. They're MLS Cup champions. I think it was a little bit bordering on disrespectful, to be fair, to Atlanta. And I think, I don't think either team were particularly good. I think that's fair to say. We lost the game. We deserved to lose the game. But chance creation was incredible. The amount of chances that we created actually surprised me with a heavily rotated team. Atlanta kept a clean sheet, as they have done for five games in a row. I can't say any more. That's incredible. That's a club record for them. Fair play. Completely fair play.
The thing is, like you said, Atlanta deserved to win. I guess in terms of the game, maybe they did. But the amount of chances that Orlando created, I know Mueller scored in the week and that broke the duck, but you've got to look at that as that must be disappointing, because it's not like you're not creating anything. Like at the end of last season, you are creating chances and just not putting them away. You would have won that game. I think you would have won that game. I didn't see Atlanta scoring another goal.
I think they did well to create in the final third without the likes of Nani. Obviously, Kleshtin didn't play either, wasn't in the squad. So you have to look at that as a positive. However, I think Dom Dwyer is in a serious, serious rut. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be able to hit a barn door. And I think creating chances is great, but if you're not going to put them away, we all know stats are irrelevant. It's about putting the ball in the back of the net. It's keeping it simple as that. I could go into loads of technical things. I've done a review of the game. I've looked at a lot of analysis. But I just want to keep it simple. There's no point in me trying to come up with excuses. We didn't take our chances. I don't think the performance was poor. I think Dwyer's performance was poor in front of goal. I don't think Atlanta were great. I think they've been very good at doing what they need to do this season, which is a very different approach. But I'll let you kind of talk about that, because you'll have seen more than me. But I just think in terms of that game itself, I don't have any complaints, because you can go on about chance creation, but you've got to score them.
Are you worried for Dwyer, or is he the guy who just needs one to go in off his backside and he'll suddenly go on a run?
I don't know. I love him. You know I love Dwyer. I don't know where I am with him at the minute, and it's because he didn't play for Norwich, but he was in the Norwich academy. So I love the fact that he's played for my two loves, Norwich and Orlando. I love that. And as soon as he joined us a couple of years ago, I thought this is going to be, because he was so good at SKC. He was so good. I think he's definitely gone off the boil. I don't think he's had a season where we've gone, yeah, Dom Dwyer's a finished article. That's exactly, the standard we expected. I don't think we've seen that yet. There's been a lot of injuries. This season started injured. Now he's started to get a run of games, just hasn't got that goal. And I don't know where I stand with him, because he seems like he's very much more interested in winding up the opponent, getting physical, getting involved in battles he doesn't need to get involved in. And I just want to see him stick the ball in the back of the net. I can't even tell you that I think when he scores, he'll immediately go and score more. I don't know. I feel like something's not right at the minute.
Yeah. What about the game in the week? Seattle away. Shout out to Nick who gets in touch on Instagram, who just said, "Sorry, Elliot, hate to do this to you, but get in." Shout out to Nick.
I'll be honest. I'll take them, because I bask in my very rare glory.
Mueller got the goal in the end, which was a good finish. Mm. Are you pinning your hopes on Mueller now, or?
Well, he doesn't again. He doesn't start him. Mueller was one of our best players last season. For some reason, kept getting left out of the start, and it was all like, oh, he's managing minutes. We're managing his minutes. He makes an impact off the bench. He's one of the best players. Just start him. Football's not that complicated. Play your best players. It's as simple as that. He came on and scored. Like, the guy deserves a start.
And defensively, the second goal was a defensive nightmare. The first goal, Rui Diaz, was that good attacking play or poor defensive play?
Poor defence. Shane O'Neill should not be anywhere near a football. The guy is an absolute embarrassment.
Wow. You are really down, aren't you, right now?
I'm just talking honestly. I don't... I think there's too many pundits. I don't know what it's like in the States. I see it from the MLS pundits on their podcast.
Yeah.
When it suits them, they're all up and whatever, and then they'll turn it round, and because it doesn't suit the narrative or whatever. I'd rather just be honest. Orlando City at the minute, I don't really want to go for the players. I think it's the team selection. The team selection is so embarrassingly bad that there's no point in me dressing it up. I'm just being honest. If you've got that roster at your disposal, you should not be down the bottom of the league. I don't think it's that bad. I don't think even you think Orlando's roster's that bad.
No, I don't. I don't. And, you know, to be 10th, when a few weeks ago you were up into 4th and 5th and looking at potentially getting into the playoffs, no, the last few games haven't been good enough. No, I'm with you. I feel sorry for you. I don't understand why the changes are being made. I don't get it. I don't know where Orlando are trying to go. I don't know what your aims are for this season. But then again, I'm an Atlanta fan, so I don't care.
just finally on this, because I have tweeted about this, and it's going off. my point is that at the start of the season, O'Connor was maybe not playing Kleschen or not playing Mueller.
Yeah.
And it was because he was saying they're going to have an impact off the bench, or we're managing their minutes. And I went along with that. Apparently the players were doing double sessions. They were going to be super fit. They were going to be going until the 95th, 96th minute. Every single game they were going to, you know, outrun their opponents all over the park. It's not happened. And the rotations carried on, but I've not seen the do you know what I mean? I've not seen the fruits of the labour in terms of the rotation. We keep rotating, but I'm not seeing the payoff for it whatsoever. I don't know what the plan is. So my point last night on Twitter was that Dwyer, Nani and Kleschen have started together three times. That's it. What point do we stop managing minutes and start trying to manage to get in the playoffs? That's simple as that.
At MLS UK show, if you want to have your say on that, it's on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Atlanta, as Elliot said, 5 games, no goals conceded, 5 wins. They're up to third now. And it's nice to see that after a very poor start, that they seem to be clicking. But Elliot, is that because the Atlanta are playing the similar, you know, pretty much the same team throughout those games? There's only a few changes here and there. I know Barco went out a few games ago, but they are being consistent. Is that why Atlanta are now pushing up to the top of the table?
Well, of course it is. You know, Atlanta had the same journey to make to Vancouver as Orlando had to Seattle, effectively. It's, you know, both teams left Atlanta to travel, one to Vancouver, one to Seattle.
Yeah.
There's no need. Atlanta didn't do too much rotation. They've kept the same team. The reason that they're starting to click and starting to gel is because, unlike when they were in the Champions League and it was chop change, he's, you know, De Boer's turned it around. He's got that core 11. He's managed to rest a few players. Like Pogba came in, impressed. It's given players a break, and then they'll go again at the weekend, and they'll be strong again, and they'll win again. They will, and that's the difference. He's turned it around. There's a lot of stick on him, but he's turned it around, and it's that core group that keeps playing, wants to do it. If you can't play 2 games in 8 days, you shouldn't be a professional soccer player.
Well, I really feel we need to cheer ourselves up right now. Let's look back at the last 4 or 5 days in MLS. It's been another great week, kicking off with Vancouver beating Portland 1-0. Good win for Vancouver, this, wasn't it?
I still think that there's more to come from the Vancouver side. I like what they're doing, I like what they're trying to achieve. Realistically, could have maybe got something last night.
Yeah, I think 1-0, it wasn't a convincing 1-0. I think Vancouver could have scraped something from it. But 8th in the table, they've pushed themselves up. They sort of grouped together with a load of teams, and you know, they're a win or two wins away from getting into the playoffs and consolidating a place there. So
yeah, you don't want to get too caught up in the exact place that, you know, they're 8th, they're just below the playoff line, but within a point of RSL in 7th. You know, not too far, 3 points off Minnesota in 6th, and I'm sorry, but that gap to Colorado with 2 points is just, when you look at that Western Conference, that's so poor. Like we think New England have been bad in the East. 2 points for Colorado.
Yeah, and it didn't help by losing the Rocky Derby at the weekend. RSL went 3-2 win at Colorado. RSL went 2-0 up. Colorado bring it back 2-2. They're in the game. And then they go and lose it. But I need to say, Sam Johnson last week, I know he's been quite prolific for RSL, but last week he said, publicly, which I was quite surprised about, he said to his teammates, I need you to pass me the ball. Well, he did. He got the third goal.
See, I've been criticising Orlando so far on this podcast. Their goals, goal ratio is fairly even, goals scored, goals against. Colorado's, it's frightening. Like it's really, really poor. And for every goal they've scored, they've conceded two.
Well, what do? We need a manager. So is that the main objective, or is it just a complete overhaul?
Well, it's like we said last week, we don't think the roster's that bad. It's certainly not a 12th in the West roster.
No, I mean like in the office and stuff like that.
There's clearly some. Issue. It's really important that the right manager's brought in, but already 8 points off after playing what 11 games.
Yeah,
they're 8 points off 11th place. That's frightening.
It's not clicking, and I know they sacked Anthony Hudson. And to be fair, I don't think the performances since sacking him have been that bad. But it's not. They're not getting points, so we need someone in my opinion, quick to just get the players to gel a bit more. Because it was a fresh roster. There was a lot of new names, but it's just not clicking.
If you think back to what we've said about Atlanta, they're not playing amazingly. They're playing well and getting results. Mm. They're not playing that same style. Colorado Rapids fans won't care. They won't care what it looks like. They'll just want at least another point on the board. Because two points from 11 games, not good enough. If they're going to go and play a 12, they at least want to be on 3 points. Like, let's at least try and get a point on the board. Don't care how you do it. Let's maybe go for a shutout. Let's try. Just go for something.
I know it's not the most attractive thing to say with MLS to get shutouts. This is a very attacking league. But if you get a shutout, you're guaranteed a point. If you're conceding three goals, you're not guaranteed anything. So he's got to start at the back for them.
Yeah, and SKC are the team above them, and their goals 19-4, 19 against. That's very, very different. There's a massive gap between SKC, who are in 11th, and by the way, have got like 10-11 injuries.
Yeah.
And Colorado, who have got no excuse.
No, is that the problem with SKC? Because they've really... I mean, SKC naturally are one of the favourites to perhaps get to the MLS Cup final. It's not clicking at the moment. Is it just down to the injuries, or is there more to it?
I think, and when you look at the injuries, there may be more to it, but I think for now we have to wait to see what happens when they get the majority of those players back. There may be a deeper issue when they come back. They're not going to have all played with each other enough. They have got big problems. They're having to... I think they put four players on the bench during the week. That's all they had. That's all they could do. So I think it's likely that when the players come back, that we may be able to hone in on a specific area where they've got a problem. But for now, I mean, when a team's got that many injuries, you have to assume that they'd at least be looking at above the playoff line if they had, their best tools available.
They lost to DC 1-0 at the weekend. DC then went on in midweek to draw 0-0 against Toronto. Elliot, will you please boo Toronto and DC United?
Boo!
Did you catch any of this game? Because Toronto dominated this game.
Toronto were all over them. It was a really, really weak side fielded by DC. And this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm getting back to. Atlanta grinding out results because they've got good players. DC fielded that team last night. I'll be honest with you, I couldn't work out who was going to play where because, trying to find a left back, a left winger, someone to play up front, rested Rooney. It was an onslaught early on, and I can't remember it off the top of my head how many shots on target, but it's frightening that Toronto didn't score. This may be wrong, but I'm sure it was over 30 shots. That they had.
It was something like that, yeah.
And so, fair play to them for hanging on, and they're still top of the East. 24 points, they're a point ahead of Philly.
FC Cincinnati, after they after cock out last week, which of course we mentioned many times on episode 11, they got a 2-1 win against Montreal. Cincinnati have come out this week and said their priority is to find a GM first before a head coach. But I guess if your caretaker, if your temporary head coach is winning games, then it's not as much of an issue, is it?
Yeah, they were criticised for getting cock out too quick. I think it's about how you get cock out. I think it's about the way that it's done rather than the fact that, you know, it's only taken them 2 months to do it. They clearly had a plan. They had a plan, get a cock out, and to be fair, recipe for success.
It is, it's worked for him.
Take that lesson in life.
We're going to speak to Ronnie later on. He's from Red Bulls New York, UK. He would have been delighted with Red Bulls beating Dallas 3-1. You, who your other job means that you have to look at lineups and stuff like that. You were very busy when this lineup got announced for Red Bulls because they seemed to rest the whole team.
Yeah, I don't want to go on about resting because I've just done a big rant about it with Orlando, but it's the same principle. What I don't like is they went and got the result. This is the difference. Fair play, because they went and got the result. But at the start, when I saw that lineup, I just thought, what's the point? It's like waving the white flag, going, oh, we're just going to go there and take the loss. And fair play, because I was wrong, because they went and won the game. But that amount of rotation is bizarre. And as you know, if that happened over here, there'd be investigations and fines.
Over here, do you have to have at least seven, is it? You've got. I heard you've got to have at least seven players who played the last game in your squad.
Yeah, for like cup games and stuff to prove that you're not just trying to get...
I think it's the league as well, because when half of Bolton's squad went on strike at the end of the season, there were questions being asked on what we can do.
There's many questions asked about Bolton all the time.
It sure is. We've already mentioned Toronto, but last weekend they got beat by Philadelphia Union, who are second in the East. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia's run continues. LA Galaxy versus New York City. I was very surprised about this result, I'll be honest. Zlatan played, and they lost 2-0.
Yeah, first of all, Philadelphia, fair play. Didn't have them to be second in the Eastern Conference after 10 games or so. LA, look, to be fair, still ahead of where they were last year. They're third in the West, and it's a strong Western Conference, this as well. We've got to remember that. If you look at the Shield together, they're fifth. They're still above Atlanta, literally a point off Philadelphia. I don't think there's any reason for panic in for Galaxy. You just look for progression, right? Finishing in the playoffs gives you a chance at MLS Cup. That's the bottom line. MLS Cup is the goal. You've got to finish in the playoffs. Yes, they've got the difference is they've got LAFC in there, and that's the reason why it starts to matter. That's why they start to look and think, well, actually, it's not just about finishing in that top six or seven. It's about beating LAFC. I think that's maybe the issue, because LAFC aren't always going to be this good. We know that.
Or as Caleb Porter calls them, the Manchester City of MLS. Did you see those comments? A bit sort of bit of a jab at them there, but you know, Man City are winning everything in England.
It's not like they've compared them to Bolton, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Which I really doubt that Caleb Porter would do. I think he'd have more respect than to do.
How are you, Colorado? Colorado Wanderers.
I think Colorado will win at the moment. LAFC, good win at Columbus Crew. Columbus Crew so far this season, the seventh, so they are in the playoffs technically, but they kind of hit and miss for me.
Yeah, what was it, like five losses in a row or something?
Yeah.
That's not... I'll be honest with you. I expect... Yeah, that's Orlando standard. I expect better, especially of Porter, who I like. Obviously, when I first got into MLS, he was at the Timbers. And I really like the Porter Columbus marriage, shall we say? And I just think on paper that should be a lot stronger. So yes, they're still in the playoffs. Yes, they're only a point off Toronto, but level on points with Chicago, you'd have them. You'd want more. You would want more. I think that's fair to say.
Do you think that after everything that happened last season with Columbus, and I know Porter weren't there, but do you think it's just that sort of moment of calm after the storm?
What I think it is, do you know when you get caught in the rain and you have to run home, sprint home, and you might be miles and maybe you need the toilet as well, and it's a bit of a nightmare. Yeah. And you just want to get home and dry, and you walk in, you shut the door, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
And this is the moment we're in right now where it's just, they're just sat there like, oh, in a minute. Do it in a minute. Do it in a minute.
So we're expecting more from Columbus. They'd finish higher than seventh, do you think?
It's difficult because I look at DC, who are not running away with it, but the top. Philly have had an incredible start to the season. Atlanta are on a big run of form. Montreal, as we discussed, got a load of home games to play. NYC, Toronto, they're big teams. You know, can Columbus jump above any of them? I don't know. I think that's what's great about MLS this year.
You mentioned Chicago. They got a 2-0 win against Minnesota. Their run continues. They're doing very well. An update on Chicago's stadium situation coming up in five things a little later on.
Oh, good tease.
Another club we're going to be talking about in more detail later on, New England Revolution. They won 3-1 against San Jose Earthquakes. Since this game, there's been a lot going on with the Revs, including a defeat to Chelsea in the week. And finally, looking back, Seattle... Oh, this is at the weekend, sorry. Seattle 1, Houston 0. Houston were doing well, so I think this is a really good result for Seattle.
Yeah, to be fair, Seattle are always a solid team. They're always good. Houston have... I don't want to say overachieved. They're the team that I feel like you don't notice sometimes. Mm. They're fourth in the standings. They've hit 20 points already. They're already three above their rivals, Dallas. Seattle look really, really strong. They're literally 2 points off LAFC, who are setting the pace for both conferences. I've been impressed with Seattle.
And finally, in the week, Houston men went and drew 1-1 against Portland Timbers. Fernandez, on his debut for Portland with the equaliser, is this the missing piece for Portland?
I hope so, because it feels weird that they're down there.
Yeah.
I don't have an affinity with Portland. I've just kind of always seen them doing quite well. And it does seem bizarre that they're down there. Seeing them lose six games out of, what, 10, 11 is bizarre. So yeah, I'm hoping for more from Portland. I'm hoping to see him kick on. I don't know at the expense of who. I'm not sure.
We're recording this on Thursday, so the LAFC FC Dallas game hasn't happened yet. We'll do a prediction for that later on.
So, where would you like to go next?
I think we should bring back a popular feature that I came up with. I think this is the third or maybe fourth edition of it.
Yeah.
In 12 episodes this season. This is a feature we like to call Why Do They? Because as MLS fans here in the UK, a lot of our friends who also like soccer will ask, well, hey, why do you like MLS? And we say it's a great league, try it out. But then when they do try it out, they go, hey, Elliot, Henry, why do we do this?
Hmm.
So this is a feature we call Why Do They?
So when I was doing my radio show earlier, I saw that Henry was in the studio next door and I ran through and I went, I've got one. I don't know how I've never thought of this before. I've been so wound up about this to the point where the other night I was like, right, we need to investigate this. So I ran through and I said, Hey, Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Why do they never, ever, ever kick off on time in MLS? Why is it always sometimes 25 minutes late?
Good question, Elliot. And the answer to it is, there's loads of different answers to it. No one has a specific answer, but having a look on the internet, because I've always wondered this, and you just put up with it. However, these are the answers that I've found. A, TV commercials. Because there's no commercials during the match, they like to cram them in before the game. There's another one saying fans in other sports, so we're talking NFL, hockey or whatever, because the matches are longer, that they don't feel they need to actually get in for the start of the game. So they're lingering about outside the game. So it's just to say, this is when we're going to kick off. But secretly, we're going to kick off 10 minutes afterwards so you can get to your seat. Somebody also said that everyone's still outside with the barbecues. Not in some MLS teams. Yeah. Colorado, thinking of one. The weather as well can have an influence on it because, of course, there's weather delays all the time. If it's been like lightning somewhere nearby, they've got to wait till it's a certain distance away from the ground before they can kick off. And the last reason was national anthems. We don't have them here in the UK before Premier League games, but in MLS they do, so they've got to get them out of the way.
Oh! say, can't you see? It takes like 1 minute. It takes 1 minute to sing that.
Yeah, the US anthem is long. Like the
they need a radio edit.
God Save the Queen, I think it's one, sometimes two verses. Get it done, get the match on. Yeah, the US one is quite long. So that is this week's Why Do They?
The reason that I came up with that, just to put you in the picture, I spend my life in this other job waiting for teams to be announced. As soon as the teams are announced, I'll do my best to kind of pick the correct formation and et cetera. And it says it's kicking off at 2 o'clock. So at 1 o'clock, I'm like, right, okay, the teams will come out now. It can be 20 past, half past, still nothing. And it's just bizarre. No other league in the world is like that.
So, yeah, that's Why Do They. If you've got an actual nailed on, full-on reason for that, tweet us at MLS UK Show, but they're the reasons that are found.
Well, thanks very much, Henry. Hey, Henry.
Yeah?
If I had another question, a query, as to why do they in MLS, how would I ask it?
Well, you can ask me or Elliot. You can email Henry or Elliot. Not right. You can email henry@mls.show. Is that our email addresses?
Yep.
henry@mls.show or elliot@mls.show. But not Henry or Elliot at mls.show. That's not an email address.
I'm going to set that up just in case. Someone test that. Henry or Elliot at mls.show.
But yeah, email us, tweet us, do whatever you want. And we'll try and answer it for you.
Let's talk Red Bulls.
Yes.
Because I've watched quite a lot of Red Bulls this season, and I noticed that there's a Red Bulls UK fan group always keen to get our DPs on, our designated phoners, and so you've done just that.
Yeah, so Ronnie is part of Red Bulls New York UK. You can get him on Twitter. It's at RBNYUK, obviously. And I spoke to him earlier on this week because Red Bulls have had an interesting season, really, because they started off at the bottom of the conference with Atlanta. And like Atlanta, they've pushed on and got some decent results recently. So I caught up with him, and here's what he had to say.
The MLS UK Show.
Right, so joining us now on the MLS UK Show, delighted to say Ronnie from RBNY UK is on the show. How are you doing, Ronnie?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you, Henry. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So before we start anything, I just want to know, how long have you been enjoying MLS and why Red Bulls?
So I've been watching the MLS for a good like 10 years now, but what it was, it's quite lucky for me. The fact is I turned on Sky Sports one day, I think it was actually on ESPN back then, and the first game was New York Red Bulls versus Philadelphia Union.
Right.
And it was near enough as Red Bulls ground open, and I was just like, wow, really nice ground. So I started watching them. Then I looked at the schedule, and then it was like, oh, they're playing the weekend after as well. So then watched that, and then since then I kind of just followed the New York Red Bulls and fell in love with the club, which is, I thought I'd never do that from across the pond.
So who's your English team then?
So I'm an Arsenal fan over here. Oh, right. All the Arsenal games as well. So it was quite lucky when Thierry Henry signed for him. So
yeah.
It's a bit like, nice tie-in there.
Yeah, I mean, you must have been over the moon with that. You're like one of your heroes signing for Red Bulls.
Yeah, as soon as it cut out, I thought it was a joke. I was like, oh, that's good. And then it happened. I was like, oh, it couldn't be better. I can see one of the legends I watched play at Highbury and then at the beginning of the Emirates, and then go back to the Red Bulls and then play very well for us out there as well. So I was like, that's brilliant.
So a few weeks ago when Henry was being linked with being the manager of Red Bulls, would you have been up for that, or are you happy as it is?
I'm quite happy with Chris Armas at the moment. I think we've got to give him a fair chance. I was a bit two-minded with Henry because obviously he was at Monaco for a period and it didn't really work out. But it's quite hard to be thrown in at Monaco that was playing really poor. Like, they've had the expectations of doing very well. So maybe if Armas doesn't work out this season, give him a go. Bring someone who knows the MLS in as well, and he'd be able to attract the players as well, like a couple of big names or younger players who'd love to play underneath him.
Do you think, like, I don't know, players like BWP, for example, is that someone that you would like to get in the future? Just someone so we can look up to? Because there's not really many people in MLS that someone of the standard of BWP would look up to, but Thierry Henry comes in and suddenly he's like, you've got to look up to him as a striker, right?
Yeah, because obviously he played with him at the Red Bulls, and by all accounts, BWP fed off of him. He learned a lot more about the game playing alongside him. So even with the young, like Brian White, for example, coming through, if you've got a Thierry Henry who's on the training ground every week and you can teach them little bits of the game, obviously the odds of him being another Thierry Henry is very low, but if you're learning off one of the greatest strikers to ever do it, it can only be a benefit to the franchise, I would say.
Yeah. Now, speaking of BWP, of course, he's only played 6 games this season, but 1 goal. Yeah. Is something not quite right with him, or is he just settling in?
I think we've been notorious in the past for having a bit of a slow start, and I think, obviously, with the CONCACAF, like the games at the beginning of the season, there was a bit of travelling and everything, but I think it's a bit more of an emphasis this season on the whole team as being a unit, and it's not, whereas before it was not that we were solely relying on him, but now we've got Brian White, who looks quite good as well. I think maybe it's just a bit of a period where he's going to have to try and crack through it, but I'm confident that he's done brilliant for us already, but sure that he'll start playing well soon. Just maybe it's just a confidence thing as well. He's only got the 1 goal. If he gets another one, I think probably one of the up-and-coming games, might get one, then get 2, and then hopefully go on the free scoring BWP that we all love and got used to late.
Yeah, I guess he is. Out of anyone in the league, you're only looking at, there's a handful of players like BWP where it takes 1 goal and you've got full confidence that they'll just go on and bang a load more in. Well, recently, Red Bulls have had a bit of a resurgence. They found themselves, you found yourselves at the bottom of the conference with my team, Atlanta, at the start. But some good results, LA Galaxy and then FC Dallas last weekend. What do you think with Red Bulls at the moment? Where are they where they should be, or are you a bit disappointed?
I think the main little bit of a concern is the home form's always been, since obviously Red Bull Arena opened, we've been the strongest team at home in the MLS. And there's been quite a few defeats and a draw so far that, not that I'm worried, but it's obviously just not usual form. But then I was looking at it, when we were playing LA Galaxy, I was thinking, we've been poor at home and playing arguably one of the best, probably in my eyes, the top 2 team in the league. And then pull off a 3-2 victory against them, I was shocked. And the confidence that done for the team, it's just worked wonders. But then played again, lost to Montreal Impact, which was a shame. But then go to FC Dallas with the 10 changes. So it shows great, I think, squad ethic in there, and that no one's think they've got a position nailed down now, because we've got 10 players who can come in and do a job. So hopefully, with how the things going, we see a bit more of an uplift in results coming up. But it's a bit worrying at Red Bull Arena, because we've been so strong, and obviously the attendances have suffered quite a bit as well. That's always going to thing, but no matter what happens, we've got the supporter groups behind the goal, ESC and the Viking Army, who always make the noise. So it's always going to be a tricky place to go to, but it's maybe just getting that LA Galaxy win, obviously is big, but then getting another couple of wins at home and getting back on the momentum of teams coming to New Jersey and being, before they even step on the pitch, they think sometimes that they're already 1 goal behind, which is a good thing to always have.
What do you think the issue with that has been? Because you look at, I know the newer franchises, likes of Atlanta and LAFC, but when they're, really, you can see the passion in the crowd, which is the same as what Red Bulls have got with your fans. But looking at it from the UK, is there anything to why we suddenly kind of see an empty stadium at the Red Bulls Arena?
Yeah, I've been wondering, I've been talking through people in New Jersey, anything I could think of is maybe, it's just weird because it was normally been good as always, don't get me wrong, it's always been quite a few empty seats every game, but it's maybe just there's the form has dropped early in the season, they just want to wait for them to start playing well again before they go back in the stadium. But it's always, especially with Atlanta, when you go to the ground, it's sold out, the players in the tunnel can hear the noise, and you're kind of already one step behind the opposition. But hopefully, if we pull in a couple of wins coming up at home, and then you get a nice, obviously LA Galaxy is always going to have a bit of a crowd because of Zlatan and the players that they have there. But hopefully, now obviously beating FC Dallas, if we can win our next game, and maybe the next 2, they might start coming back in slowly, the crowds. Well, I hope so anyway, but it's just a case of maybe the form, I think it's probably got a massive part to play with the low attendances at the moment.
Yeah, well, speaking of home games, it's a big one this weekend. It's it's a bit of a revenge mission against Atlanta United. Are you confident that you get 3 points?
Not as saying that. I'm probably as confident as I was going into the NA Galaxy game. Obviously, Atlanta suffered as well at the beginning of the season. So I think it's one of the biggest games. It's the biggest game so far, is because whoever wins, if Atlanta comes to Red Bull Arena and win, the bit of confidence they'll get from that. But obviously, when you beat the reigning champions and the team that struggled against of late, it always will pick up the form. I could easily see it go. It's one of them games. I don't think it would be a high scoring, like 3-4-0 either way. It could easily be a 2-1 or a score draw. But I think with current form, I think it'd be very hard to say that one team's definitely going to win. But obviously, with Joseph Martins at Atlanta, as long as he's fully fit and firing, there's always a chance that you're going to lose to Atlanta. So before the game, I'd say obviously love win, but if to get the atmosphere back in there, get the people back in, the confidence among the line, it's a big game. And I think putting my neck out on the line, I'm going to say I think it might just crack it, maybe 2-1. I think just on the day.
Just how big will it be for Red Bulls to win? Because, I mean, you look back at last season, Red Bulls, you had the best regular season of any team in MLS ever. Well, first of all, actually, what was, amongst Red Bulls fans, what's your reaction when you look back at the legacy of last season? Is it positive or is it just a hint of negativity because you didn't manage to get to the MLS Cup final?
Yeah, I think it's bittersweet, like everything leading up to obviously the Atlanta Titans was brilliant, playing absolutely exceptional, players were on top form. But at the end of the day, I know obviously it's lovely winning Supporters Shield and all that, but you want the, obviously we're the only starting team not to win it, and it's just that, it's looming over the club a bit that what you need to win the top prize, and arguably last season was the year to do it. Everyone was playing well, we still had Tyler Adams, but then we come up against a great opposition at the end of the day. With obviously Almiron, who's now at Newcastle, and played very well, I thought, for Newcastle in the season, and Martins, who's, in my eyes, one of the best strikers to ever play in the MLS. So it's bittersweet at the end of the day, but brilliant season. But because you didn't take home the top prize, it can never be the amazing season, in my eyes, personally.
Right, well, before you go, Ronnie, I mean, the Red Bulls this season will be doing it from a different sort of angle, whereas last year you were kind of at the top for the majority of the season and then got Supporters Shield and then went in the playoffs quite high. This year is going to be different. Do you feel you can win the MLS Cup this year? Is that going to be better for the players?
I think sometimes it's better to go into the playoffs as the underdogs. So when you've got the pressure of everyone expecting you to win, it can get play on the players' minds, where if they're going in, they're thinking, right, we're going to have to play really well to win this game. They can actually up their performances slightly. So, obviously, we've won the Supporters Shield a couple of times of late, and we've gone into the playoffs, and we've obviously not gone on and won it. So, maybe going in, maybe at like the fifth seed or something along them lines, sixth seed, but it could actually do have the adverse effect and actually maybe have that extra 10% on the day in the playoffs. So, maybe coming from a different angle in the playoffs could help Red Bulls, I think.
So can you do it?
I'm not as optimistic as I was last year, but with some of the young players that we've got, this with Brian White, Caceres Jr., obviously Tyler Adams, a big miss, if BWP starts scoring, I think we have a chance on our day that we could beat anyone like we did with LA Galaxy. But I think we'll still make the playoffs, I think, and it's going to be a case of will you beat, I think it's, whereas last year it was the East with Atlanta and New York Red Bulls, this year the West with LAFC, LA Galaxy is looking very tough. So, but I think if you can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which has been a bit of a struggle of late, that could give you the confidence to go on and win it. So I'm hoping.
Okay, and finally, Ronnie, before you go, of course, we mentioned it before, Red Bulls, New York, UK. If there's any Red Bulls fans out there listening to this, or especially in the UK that want to get in touch or want to be part of what you're doing, what's the best place to find you?
If you follow us over on Twitter, I'll be NYUK. We have a load of people starting to talk to us, but even if you're not just supporting Red Bulls, I fully welcome any MLS UK fan, because at the end of the day, it's us that we want to try and boost it in the UK. And obviously, the more the merrier at the end of the day. Like, if you're a Red Bulls fan, great, because we can talk through the games. But I think most of us in our supporters group actually watch most of the MLS. So if you want to come in and have a chat about the MLS, feel free, message us or anything, and we'll talk to you. We just want to try and make the MLS a much better game in the UK, to be honest.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt. MLS UK show.
Ronnie there chatting to Henry Ronnie from the Red Bulls New York UK fan group. Always good to chat to any fans, whether you're based in the States, in Canada, in the UK. If you want to volunteer to be a designated phoner, a DP, then drop us a message on Twitter at MLS UK Show. Right, Henry.
Yeah.
It's that time.
Are we talking five things?
Let's do five things.
Okay, Elliot, are you ready? You need to get your deepest voice because you have the numbers. One. At number one this week, Seattle Sounders fans, you can vote for your best ever Sounders 11. This is something that the club are doing, a campaign celebrating 10 years in MLS. And they're going to be doing it with goalkeepers, then defenders, then midfielders, and then you'll never guess what.
Go on.
They're going to do it with forwards.
Amazing.
Each one's open for 1 week, beginning yesterday as we record this on May 15th. Just go to soundersfc.com/best XI. That's 11. I wonder how many Portland fans are going to try and usurp that. Right, are we going to number
two?
Chicago Fire fans, it may cost over $60 million to buy out the Bridgeview Stadium lease to move stadiums. A lot's been going on with this behind the scenes. Chicago Fire are looking to move. I don't think the original move, which happened a few years ago, they signed a lease. Bridgeview paid for a lot of the a lot of building the stadium, and now they're looking to move on. Of course, it's getting in the courts and all of that stuff. So hopefully for Chicago Fire, this can be rectified. But the thing is that it is actually a soccer-specific stadium. It was one of the only ones that was built at the time in the league. So I guess it's not like MLS aren't pushing them to move. This is their own thing. But it's going to cost money to get out of the lease.
Three.
Number three, this is good news for LAFC fans, but maybe not Mexican LAFC fans, because Carlos Vela has been excluded from Mexico's Gold Cup roster. So surprise, this.
This makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I don't get it either, because he's been one of LAFC's better players, which is an achievement because they've all been really good this season, and he's been banging the goals in, but not enough for the Mexican squad.
I don't get it because he's been linked with moves back to Europe, much with respect to LAFC, bigger clubs than themselves. And to me, it seems bizarre that they don't. Mexico got a good squad. They're not good enough to be without him, surely.
No, I'd agree because they'll have their annual second round or quarter finals of the World Cup every 4 years. But yeah, we'll have to see how they do, because they are naturally one of the favourites for the Gold Cup. And, do they need Vea? Do they not? Are they looking forward to the future? Because he's getting on a bit now. So, don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But good news for LAFC fans,
Should be in the squad.
Four.
Number four, Columbus Crew have announced that Jesse Zardes is to become one of their designated players. They've extended his contract to make it a DP contract. Is this the right move, or could they have actually gone out and got another striker from, say, Europe for that spot?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm confused by this, because he's not started the season in the sort of form where you're like, need to get this guy signed up. And he's not been in the sort of form that warrants him asking for more money. So I'm confused by this one.
Well, if you look at the last 3 years, for example, so last year, yes, Zardes played very well. He was the MLS Comeback Player of the Year, 19 goals. The year before with LA Galaxy wasn't as good. And now he's not really started this one flying. So really, you're looking at one season out of three. But, Kevin Porter's obviously got faith in him. And maybe this might, it might give him the added pressure to think, I'm one of the DPs now, I really need to perform.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. Not convinced.
Five.
Oof. We're ending five things on a really positive note. Chris Odoi-Atsum, who, of course, plays for DC, he's back. He's back playing football for DC's second team.
Ludun!
And he's, after what happened to him, with the illness, he's not played in, I think, 14 months or maybe more than that.
Yeah, 15 months.
15 months. it's just incredible for him to come back, and he's so inspirational. And he even said that he was tackled, he was on the ground, and he was like, that was the moment where he's like, wow, I'm really back in this. And I guess normally if you get tackled on the and some of the pitches or some, you know, the plastic pitch, it must really hurt. But for him, it must have been like, I'm back, yes.
Yeah, I don't mind admitting this. It was emotional watching him. Like when I work on the DC previews every weekend, I have to list the players that are out through injury. And it just got so depressing, just putting Odoi Atsum out. Every single, and you know, just situation remains, you know, as he recovers from his Hodgkin's lymphoma. Yeah. So to see him back, and for me to last weekend be able to say, available. He's available for selection was awesome.
And hopefully there are rumours, because DC are playing Real Betis next week, so there's rumours he might be in the squad for that, which would be amazing and a great comeback for him. And he deserves everything he hopefully will get in his career, which will hopefully be lots of success. So that's this week's five things you may have missed in MLS.
Now, shall we talk New England Revs, more specifically Bruce Arena?
Yeah, I feel New England Revolution could have filled a five things you may have missed in MLS, the amount that's going on there. So let's do a bit of a timeline, because Brad Friedel was sacked. He was sacked last Thursday while we were at the Football Blogging Awards, annoyingly. And then GM, Michael Burns, was relieved of his duties earlier this week. And then yesterday, was it, as we record this, or was it Tuesday? Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Then, you know, Bruce Arena, fresh from his US national team.
Hugely successful stint with the US national team.
Yep. He's now back in MLS. Elliot, what's your thoughts on this?
Look, I'm prepared to give him a go. Prepared to see how it works out. But to me, the thing is, everything about the Revs, I don't want to be harsh, everything about the Revs is unfashionable, it's uncool, even down to their web address, which is revolutionsoccer.net like at AOL.net. You know, like, come on, everything needs a little bit of an upgrade, a little bit of a polish with New England. And I just think this was a big opportunity, and they've let Friedel bring in his own players, which I think has been a mistake. That's a team that he's built. They've got a big roster full of a lot of average players, and it needed a big coach to come in. He may be exactly what they need, because he's going to be sporting director as well. But for me, it just continues their run of unfashionability.
Yeah, the thing is, for me, I feel sorry for the Revolution, because they're obviously with the Kraft Group in, and I know that you know, their main focus perhaps is with the Patriots in NFL, and unsurprisingly, because they're a very successful team. I feel the Revolution sometimes get forgotten about, and I think these sort of changes it needs to happen, because Brad Friedel, we love him here in the UK, he had a very successful career, but this season's been poor, and like you've said previously, it doesn't look like he's changing anything, and the idea wasn't quite there.
Only thing he was changing was the starting 11, and he clearly had no idea on his best team.
So, you know, it's been a clear out. Bruce Arena, for me, I think this is quite good for Revolution, just because, yeah, Bruce Arena is not got a great stock at the moment after what happened with the USMNT. And maybe this is his way in. Not, you know, he was never going to sign for LAFC or in Atlanta, but he's, you know, to go down the league a bit and then start again. He can build his own team. He can, you know, move forward and get his rep back. I think it could be a marriage made in heaven. So I'm really interested to see what's going on here.
And in his first game, only lost 3-0, which is good.
Yeah, well, that team was against Chelsea, so give him some credit.
I'm giving Philadelphia the credit. If they scored six past New England and Chelsea only scored three, what does that tell you? Eastern Conference, Philly are coming.
Tells you you're looking way too much into it. So goals from Ross Barkley, he got two, and Giroud, who 3-0 win to Chelsea. Surprised that they brought, especially with the Europa League final next week.
It was a strong team.
Yeah, it was a very strong team. But I was listening to TalkSport coming into work today, and they were saying, well, what's he called? Ruben Loftus-Cheek has got injured.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, why didn't they cancel it? What's the point? And I know the point behind it, you know, was the charity and everything, which, to be fair to Chelsea, it was great that they brought a full team over. And maybe getting them out of London and sort of concentrating on something else was good for them. We'll have to see in the Europa League final. But for New England Revolution, I don't know. I just think these games are going to be good for their players. It just takes the mind off it. They're playing against some of the best players in the world. And, you know, it's 3-0 is not an awful result.
I like the timing of it because it feels like a pre-season game for them and it's kind of a chance to reset. So yeah. I like that. But we'll see how they get on this weekend.
Considering that we have said before that we thought it was going to be a bit of a cricket score, what would the equivalent be in the US and Canada? Maybe a basketball score, that'd be it. What do you think it'd be, a basketball score? yeah, it was a good, you know, 3-0's not bad.
Okay, so speaking of how they're going to do at the weekend, shall we get on to the predictions?
Yes.
You've been very quiet on these. Like last year, we didn't hear the end of it because you were winning all the time.
I'll be honest with you, I've not got round to checking them, so it's on my to-do list to check who's winning every week. Remember, you can get in touch with your predictions at MLS UK Show. DM us with your predictions for the weekend, because we love to go up against you guys, so don't be afraid to do that. Right, let's kick off the predictions for this week, starting on early Friday morning, 3 a.m. here in the UK, LAFC versus FC Dallas. Surely this is a home win, right? Surely.
2-0 LAFC.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 LAFC. Saturday evening, Montreal versus New England Revolution, 6 p.m. Montreal back at home.
New England's first proper game under Bruce Arena. It's going to be a heavy defeat, 3-1.
Do you think, have they sorted the beach out yet? Have they sorted the pitch out?
Well, Montreal are going to be more comfortable there than anyone.
That's true. Yeah, there's not many beaches in New England, is there? So. I'm going to go 2-2, actually, for this one.
Oh, yeah, okay. RSL then take on Toronto. This is tough.
Yeah, I always trust RSL at home. That's coming from the last few seasons. So I'm going to give them a 3-2 win.
I think RSL 2, Toronto 1.
Half an hour later, unless there's a barbecue on, 8:30, it's San Jose Earthquakes versus Chicago Fire. So both teams, I know San Jose lost last weekend, but both teams performing much better than previously.
You ready? 3-3.
3-3?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm watching that game. I think the Fire will win 3-1.
Probably be 0-0 now. Philadelphia Union then take on Seattle Sounders, 12:30 Sunday morning for us.
This is tough. Both teams playing really well. I think Seattle are better at home, so I'm going to go with...
2-0 Philly.
I'm going to go draw, then. I'm going to go 1-1.
I got bored of waiting for you. Minnesota, 1 o'clock Sunday morning, take on Columbus Crew.
Minnesota at home. Yeah, I think 3-2 Minnesota.
Three-nil Minnesota.
Houston Dynamo versus DC United. You'd expect Rooney to be back, right?
Yeah, he's had his rest midweek. First game he's not started this season. I think this is going to be 1-1.
2-2.
Okay. Sporting KC versus Vancouver Whitecaps.
I think SKC will get back to winning ways. I think it will be 2-0.
1-0 SKC.
8 o'clock Sunday evening, Orlando City versus FC Cincinnati. You know what, Elliot? I think Dwyer will score. I think you'll get back to winning ways. I think it'll be 3-1.
So the Orlando City B team in action against Cincinnati. Oh, no, we used them already. The C team. Do I do it? Do I go bold? Do I go brave? 3-1 Orlando.
Here we go.
Oh, stupidity.
10 p.m. I spoke about this with Ronnie earlier on. It's New York Red Bulls versus Atlanta United. This is a big game. Memories of last season.
Mm.
I think Red Bulls at home will be a bit too strong. I think they'll click. I think it'll be 1-1.
Okay. FC Dallas, Monday morning.
What do you think?
Oh.
You don't get away with that
one. Trying
to
get away with it. 2-2.
Okay. Very strange, this one, because it's FC Dallas versus LAFC, Monday morning.
And they just played each other on Friday morning.
Yeah, so I don't know whether LAFC are just going to travel back with FC Dallas for this one.
They're sharing a charter flight.
Yeah, very weird.
MLS gone, MLS.
I think LAFC will win again. I think it would be 2-1.
Yeah, I fancy him as well. Narrow 1-0 away victory.
And finally, 1 a.m. This is Monday morning. LA Galaxy versus Colorado Rapids. I'm going to get in there first, and I think it'll be 4-0 to LA Galaxy.
3-0 LA Galaxy. Nah, put me out of my misery, please.
Okay, the player of the game with the changing name. Well done if you got it. It's Mike Grella. He played for Leeds. He played for Brentford, Bury, Scunthorpe, and then went to Red Bulls and Columbus Crew.
I'm no longer upset with myself that I didn't get it. No chance was I ever going to get that.
Right, that's it for this week. If you want to get in touch, at MLS UK Show, that's Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Tweet us with your reactions to this podcast, your predictions for the weekend and whatever. And I think there's only one thing left to say, Elliot.
Go on.
Get in.
See you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.